Hello there.
The 4th. We missed it.
A belated May the 4th be with you anyway.
Yes. We're 10 days off. May the 14th.
May the 14th be with you indeed.
Yeah.
It works. Oh, I like that. I think it works perfect.
I don't know what a teenth is, but...
No, May the 14th. It's better, actually. It's better than May the... We're better than all of you guys who celebrated May the 4th. May the 4th. Screw you guys.
Yeah. We're like 10... plus better
mm-hmm.
days.
We're not.
No, that's not working.
It's okay. Really not.
All right. Yeah. I didn't do anything for May the 4th, I don't think. My brain is jumbled. I'm tired and I'm confused and I'm sick. What about you, Laura?
I went to trivia that night with Eric Eilerson from the Living Force podcast. So that was really fun. Met some of his friends from college and got to hang out with him and his girlfriend, Charlie. And they... we all went to a brewery that's like Star Wars themed, like year round. It's called Empirical Brewery and it's dog friendly. So there were dogs there and there was a cat wandering around because there's, I guess, breweries just sometimes have loose cats. And it was fun. It was great. It was a good time.
How did we not know about this before?
I know. Well, it's like it's up in Ravenswood. So it's like really far north. Like legit, I worked in the office that day and took the Metra to get there because it was just easier. So I'm like, that's how far north we're talking.
Yeah.
And I don't generally make my way up there very often.
Fair enough.
Yeah. Sneezies. Yeah. But it was fun. It was a fun time. That was really all I did though. I didn't really do much shopping because I'm like, I have enough shirts. I kind of have a general idea of what I'm going to wear at Celebration already.
Yeah.
I don't need any more stuff. I've got enough unframed Star Wars art laying around. I'm like, I don't need to buy anything else for this.
Yeah. I want for nothing.
Yeah.
When it comes to Star Wars gear and such.
We're all set, all right. You know?
Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. I wish I would have known about that brewery when I lived there. I would have gone, brought the dogs.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. Dog friendly. And their like logo kind of looks like a Star Destroyer a little bit. And like some of their beers are like sort of Star Wars-y themed. Like it's clearly like trying to not be Star Wars so they like don't get sued. But it's...
Yeah.
It was fun. And everyone who worked there was really nice. I had a good time.
Oh, yeah. They've got like little things hanging from the ceiling.
Yep.
Like TIE Fighter and crap. All right.
Yeah. Cool. There's a couple people like in cosplay, a couple lightsabers around. It was just, it was a grand old time was had by all. And three teams got perfect scores. And then we did sudden death and we came in second only because the last question was just name as many pod racers as you can from Phantom Menace. And both Eric and I just totally blanked. And I think we got 5, but there was another team that got more than us. So we took second.
Damn.
Yeah, we suck. I mean, like, that's one of those things where, like, sometimes when I was getting ready for a Schmodown match, I would just turn on Alex Damon's video about the pod race and just listen to it, like, while I was doing my makeup. Mm-hmm. I should have done way better on that question, and I still was just like, Sebulba, I don't know. Like, it was not great. It was bad.
Yeah, I don't think I can name many of them. I know there's that Ord Mantrell or whatever.
Oh, yeah, Odie Mandrell. And yeah. I think we got Anakin. Him. And we weren't allowed to do Anakin. They're like, name as many as you can besides Anakin. And I think we got Ratz Tyrell.
Okay.
And I don't remember who else we even got, but yeah. I think Mahonik was the one I was trying to come up with, and my brain was just not functioning. I was 3 beers deep at the time.
Fair.
Besides that, should have gotten it.
All right. You know what else you should have gotten it for?
Yeah. Let's roll with that.
Yeah, Force Toast, a Star Wars happy hour, episode 78. Whoa. And it's May the 14th.
May the 14th.
14th. Just add the weird noise behind it, and it sounds like May the 4th.
Sure.
May the 4th, and then a sneeze or something.
Beautiful. Yeah, no. So I'm Laura.
And I'm Alice, and I'm sickly. I'm sorry. You've got to listen to this beautiful voice.
You have to listen to it, you all. I'm not apologizing for it.
Voice.
Mm-hmm. It's beautiful. Uh-huh. And now you get to hear me shaking my martini.
That is fancy. What kind of martini that be?
I made an espresso martini. Espresso martinis are like a whole vibe right now. They are totally having a comeback. And they're just everywhere. So I've been making them at home quite a bit because we have an espresso maker and it's, you know, a lot of fun. So at the moment, I'm now struggling to get the fucking topper off of the shaker and pour myself my fucking drink. But as soon as... There it goes. Okay. Let's see. Yay.
Is it just espresso or is it chocolate espresso?
It's not chocolate espresso. The last time I made them, I did do chocolate shavings on top. It was a huge hit in my household here. And now I've got my shaker left so I can have a second drink here in a little bit. But cheers.
Nice. Yeah, I've just got the H2O with some ice in it.
That's okay. I'm going on drinking after this, so I'm pre-gaming.
Perfect. I wish I could do that. I'm ready to, like, go to bars and stuff again.
Yeah,
I once bet. I recover and move. Okay, cool. Housekeeping.
Well, it's been a while since we recorded, so I've been busy. Been jumping on some random stuff. Yeah, our last episode came out in, like, mid-April. It was a long time ago. So on April 23rd, I was on Radio Rebellion's YouTube channel. They did a High Republic Phase 1 panel, and that was a ton of fun. It was really fun just to sit and, like, reminisce about all things High Republic Phase 1 and just live in that time for a little while. So I loved it. May 1st, I was on Star Wars Spelt Out with Josh Chapman. I know that you also were just recently on his show. He said that you guys had fun. We talked a lot about celebration panels and stuff because that list had just come out that day, I think.
Nice.
May the 4th was Sith List's 300th episode celebration. So I left the Empirical Brewing three beers deep, got home, was eating pizza while I was waiting for them to let me into the room, the, like, stream yard or whatever. And they brought me on, like, while I was, like, mid-bite. And so I was just like, hey, sorry, let me just chew really quick on camera. It was really fun.
It's a pizza rat meme.
Yeah, it was. I was a straight-up pizza rat meme myself. It was beautiful. And then the Jedi Way, John and I have been on a little bit of a break from that, too, because he's been doing reviews for Moon Knight, and now that's done. So we're back doing Jedi Way again. And we talked about the Kenobi trailer and more celebration panel stuff that we're looking forward to. That was the May 8th episode of the Jedi Way on John Rocco's YouTube channel.
Nice.
Yeah.
Here we go. Caravan of Correction.
I don't remember why we were talking about it. I think I was just talking about maybe the Midnight Horizon book or something. We were talking about the planet Dalna, and I was just like, it was in this one High Republic book. And then I looked it up, and it was actually mentioned in, like, every single High Republic book. It wasn't just in this one that I had just read. So I wanted to make that clear. It actually is featured in Mission to Disaster, and it's pictured in High Republic number 12, but it's, like, mentioned in lots of places. Weirdly enough, including Dooku Jedi Lost, which I also just listened to.
I'm trying to remember where we were talking about that, because I remember saying, have we heard of that before? Like, in the episode. But I don't remember.
Well, now it's been a whole ass month since we were talking about it, so who the hell knows?
Right.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. La News. Here we go. Knock it out. Happy birthday to Jilu.
I always forget that his birthday is the day before mine. Today's May 14th. It's George Lucas's birthday. Yay. Happy birthday, George Lucas. By the time you hear this, it will be a belated day for you to wish George Lucas happy birthday, but do it anyway in your head.
It's a thought that counts.
Mm-hmm. And by the time you hear this, we're only going to be 9 days away from Star Wars Celebration Anaheim. Very excited.
Yeah. Are you getting in on Wednesday or Thursday?
I'm getting in on Wednesday because we had originally had our hotel booked for just, I think, Thursday through Monday, and I realized I had booked my flight to get in Wednesday, so that's why I had to change it. I was like, oh, fuck. I'm going to be homeless for a night. No, I wouldn't.
Well, also as a surprise that Thursday wasn't just like a goofball day.
Yeah, they're not doing it the same way that they did 2019, because, yeah, Thursday was just like the shopping day back then, mm-hmm. and that was the first time I think they had ever done that. And this year, Thursday is like full-on schedule. of panels and shit. I mean, they're like starting off strong and everything. Mm-hmm. Like the High Republic panel is on Thursday. I'm really, really excited. And I'm really glad that it's on Thursday, because if it had been on Friday, which is when I'm on a panel, I would have had to be like, No, dude, I'm not. I'm just not. You guys are going to be good without me. You don't need me. I have to go to High Republic because I'll just die if I can't.
Yeah, so tell us about the panel that you will be on.
Yeah, so I'm going to be on a panel that Andres Cabrera has organized that's called How Rey Defined a New Star Wars Generation. It's going to feature Molly Damon, Arzu Amin, Lacey Gillerin, and Maggie Lovett, and myself. And we actually just had our first meeting last night to sort of sit and talk about how the panel, what the panel is going to go like, and, you know, some of the things that Ace wants to cover and some of the things we don't want to cover and things like that. So it was a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. And I think it's going to be great. It's going to be all about, you know, a celebration of the character. So I'm sure it's going to be fun.
Okay. You said 1:30 on Friday?
I believe 1:30 on Friday. Yes.
All right. Cool. So the main panels I was looking, we have the Lucasfilm Showcase, ILM, or just Light and Magic. Mando Plus and Bad Batch Season 2. How do you feel about those being the main, like, marquee panels?
The Friday one is really weird to me because that's just going to be like a screening of a documentary that's going to be on Disney Plus in probably a few weeks. But really? They are bringing Ron Howard in and Lawrence Kasdan to sort of intro it and talk about it, which is kind of cool. But I just thought that was really strange. I'm just like, we're all going to see it eventually. Like, we don't need to do a whole 11 a.m. big panel of the day. But all right, that's fine. To each their own, I guess.
Yeah, I'm just really shocked that that's like a marquee, like, opener panel versus the 20th anniversary Attack of the Clones.
Yeah, which is like random. Right. What is that? Like on a Sunday at 2 o'clock or something?
It's Friday at 2.
Okay. Yeah. So it's like not even the opening day. I don't know. It's kind of strange. But I think that's kind of safe to assume that, like, there probably won't be any, like, unexpected special guests at the Attack of the Clones panel. Like, Kenobi, Jesus, Ewan McGregor and Hayden are going to be there signing autographs and stuff. So it's probably a safe assumption they're going to show up at this panel, too. But maybe not. I don't know. It'll be fun. The Phantom Menace one was fun when I went in 2019.
You know, I wonder, maybe Natalie Portman will just show up. Maybe it's at 2 because that's only when some people can make it.
That's true.
I don't think Hayden Christensen is doing autographs.
Oh, is he not? Is he just doing photo ops and stuff?
I don't think he's doing photo ops either.
Oh, I thought that was the whole...
I think it's just Ewan McGregor.
Well, what's the point of him being there? I thought that was, like, all he was doing. It's not like he's there to be on a panel.
Maybe. Did I lose my mind? I thought I saw something that said he's not.
No, I don't know. I don't care about the photos and signatures and shit, so I have no idea.
Yeah, for some reason I thought he's not going to be there. Like, no one hold me to my word on that. But I just remember seeing something and being like, oh, that's weird. I could have made it up, though. My brain's not working. I'm very tired. Don't trust anything I say.
Do you want me to look it up or should we just move on?
We can just move on.
Okay. The badge activation finally went live like 2 days later than it was supposed to. And we still aren't able to enter lotteries when we're recording this. So maybe by the time this comes out, that will all be live. Fingers crossed. We'll see. I have a lot of sympathy for whoever fucked up and made this so that it didn't go live on schedule, because I had, like, kind of a major fuck-up at work this week, too. So like, whatever they did, whoever did it, let's cut them some slack. We'll all get entered into the lottery when we get entered. It's not a big deal.
Plus, it sucks to have to wait extra long, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, I'd rather just have the waiting period be 2 days and not 2 weeks.
Yeah, that's true, of just knowing. But if you... That gives people, I think, time to coordinate and being like, hey, I've got a group that's going, but one person can't come or doesn't want to go, so I've got an extra spot. You can kind of coordinate and finagle things if needed. But yeah, it'll be fun. I'm very much looking forward to it. So celebration's going to be great. I fly in Wednesday and fly back out Monday. So yay.
Yeah, I think my head would explode. I just can't do it. Bum. What else on these panels? So the High Republic one, is it going over phase 2 or is it just like a recap?
They had kind of made it sound like it was going to be both. So there were going to be like some sort of announcements about phase 2, but it was also going to be a look back at phase 1. So I think it'll be a little bit of everything. But the 5 luminous authors are going to be there. They didn't mention anybody else being there besides Christina Ariel, who's hosting the panel. But it would be kind of fun if some of the other ones pop out and say hello. I don't know.
Yes. I want to, before we move off of this, I want to reemphasize that the Doug Chang panel is probably going to be really good.
Yeah.
It looks like it's Saturday at 4 p.m.
Ooh, a late one.
Designing the Mandalorian. Yeah.
Yeah. I've heard really good things about the panels that he does. And that's when you attended back in 2019, yeah?
I went to the Phantom Menace one, yeah.
That's awesome.
It was really good.
Nice. Well, that's good. Totally recommend. I did realize that I'm going to have to miss the Attack of the Chords, David W. Collins talking about the music in the Attack of the Clones. And I'm disappointed. There's a publishing panel happening at the same time, and I'd rather go to that. Mm. But I'm disappointed to have to miss that one.
Yeah. That looks like a cool one, too. All right. Anything else? Celebration?
No, I don't think so. We can move on to Kenobi Watch. We're almost done with our Kenobi Watch.
And then we'll be able to watch Kenobi.
Yeah. If I had a monocle, I'd lean back and hold it and drink my drink with my pinky up.
Just like pour it in your mouth. Yeah. I have some notes.
Okay.
From the May the 4th trailer.
Okay.
I have a typo. I wrote coup music.
Coup music. Indeed.
Coup music.
It was pretty coup.
Also, let's put on some tinfoil hats. In the beginning, Obi-Wan says, they are coming. Stay safe or stay hidden or we will not survive.
Mm-hmm.
Who is the we?
Mm-hmm. A lot of people thinking he's talking to Kumail Nanjiani and that dude's playing a Jedi.
We know for sure he's playing a Jedi?
No, we don't know for sure, but lots of people are suspecting that he is. It kind of looks like he's wearing robes.
Exactly. So at 105, I noticed him in this one, and mm-hmm. that was one of my other bullet points. I just put Eternals, Dune robes because I can't remember his name. So it's either Jedi robes or could it be Tatooine casual?
Yeah, either of the two, I think, is... I suppose there's a third option out there somewhere. But yeah, that's what most of the suspicions have been surrounded by, those two options. Ugh.
I really like that guy. I want to know more about him. Let's see. And then, is it pronounced Reva or Reva?
I think I've heard a lot of people say Reva. I wish it was Reva. It looks more like Reva to me, but I've heard Reva.
Reva might be too close to Reva. Fancy.
Here's your one chance, Fancy. Don't let me down. I like this character a lot, though. I'm really excited to see what exactly her connection is to Kenobi, because I think it's pretty well established at this point that she knew him from some past life.
Well, maybe from she was a youngling.
Yeah, I mean, she yells at him, like, she makes it sound like it's very personal.
Yeah, and she says, every lowlife and bounty hunter to squeeze him. So I'm like, ooh, are we going to see some of our old bounty hunter friends? From the Clone Wars?
Yeah, and then it'll be interesting to find out that, to see who else shows up. Like, maybe live-action Cad Bane. We don't know what he's been up to during this time period. But I think a lot of people are suspecting that Forlom is in the trailer shooting at him. And I think him and Zuckuss are, like, partners from The Empire Strikes Back. That's why Zuckuss is with them, too. So I would think that if Forlom's around, that Zuckuss will be around, too. But who knows? We'll see.
I would love to see Hondo. He just never gets old.
Oh my god, right? God.
He's so funny.
I miss Hondo Ohnaka. Bring back Hondo in any form. Animated, live action, I don't care. I just want to see him.
Same. Oh yeah, and then my last note is Vader arm popping in. Gross.
Yeah, that looked painful.
Yuck.
But I really do kind of love the like poetry of Kenobi being the one that sliced off all of Vader's limbs, and then we see Vader being assembled in the Kenobi trailer. It's just like perfect. Can't wait.
I'm very excited.
Yeah. Have you been following a lot of the press tour that's been going on? A lot of great photos coming out.
It's so cute.
It really is.
Hayden talking about his farm and having 14 puppies.
It's beautiful. Yeah.
Yeah.
I've really enjoyed seeing them out and about and talking about the sort of renewed love for the prequels and, you know, how those were really the Star Wars movies that defined a whole generation for a group of people. And that's just, it's so cool that they get to see those movies being embraced. Because if I were them, I probably would have ignored everything Star Wars I ever saw again for the rest of my life after the prequels came out, after how they were initially received. I would have just been like, cool, I'm washing my hands with this, I'm done. And so if he had totally turned off, like, it probably took somebody, like, telling him, like, by the way, there are a lot of Star Wars fans who, like, these are their movies and they love them. And that's why there's so much demand for this shit now.
Yeah. Everyone's very stylish on that press tour.
Yeah, I know, right? I'm like, you all look like very Euro fashionista.
Very fancy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Fancy.
Keeps coming up. It all comes back to Reba McEntire.
It was an accident.
But yeah, there's a whole bunch of press going on right now with the Kenobi show as they're getting ready to promote it now that we're about 2 weeks away from the premiere. But GQ magazine did a whole, I guess the whole thing of photos. I think that only a couple of them are online. Maybe there's more in the actual magazine. I don't know. Empire magazine did a whole spread that I couldn't find anywhere online, but there was one article talking about how Ewan McGregor almost adopted a fucking camel from the set of Kenobi. It was the camel that's like playing his Eope in the show. Oh. And the I guess the camel's like 20 years old, so it's like they're like getting ready to retire it, and they're like, he needs a forever home. And Ewan McGregor's like, don't fucking tell me that, I'm gonna come home with a damn camel, I can't do that. Like, it was just really cute.
I wish he would have gone through with it and actually bought the camel.
Yeah, I feel like a lot of, we've read about actors doing that before. Like, I feel like some actors, who was it recently that like took home the horse that they rode throughout the movie? I read about that recently from somewhere. I think that's a common thing that happens.
Yeah, you just get really attached to your little buddy.
Yeah.
And if he's about to retire, how hard is it to keep track of camels? What do camels even eat? Because they live in deserts.
Is it
cows eat grass and stuff? But
is that a hay thing? Maybe, I don't know.
Where do you get hay in the desert?
Oats? I have no idea. Maybe. Maybe they're meat eaters and we just don't know.
Okay. They eat grass, grains, wheat, and oats.
Cool. All right. Well, we could raise camels, Alice. We know what to do.
They spend their days searching for food and grazing. However, food can be tough to come by in their harsh desert environment.
Whoop.
Womp, they eat shrubberies and leaves.
I can't believe Hayden wasn't like, I'll take them home to my farm. I've got oats and stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
Could have been an option.
Yeah, you should have done that.
I know. I don't know why. Why didn't they collab on this idea?
Yeah, then you and McGregor could go visit, and they could have fun.
Aww.
They could have boy talk.
This little article in Empire was really cute, though, because he talked about how, I guess, in Revenge of the Sith, his Eope was just him riding like a blue machine that they then used CGI to turn it into an Eope. And he's like, I actually got to ride like a real animal for this one, so it felt a lot more, you know, authentic, which I'm sure that was nice. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But it's great.
I also like the story, like the one on Star Wars Newsnet. Let's see. What was it called?
Yeah. So this story, they took a lot of the Empire magazine article and they put like blurbs in their story. So I'm like, I couldn't find the Empire magazine article anywhere, but I think the closest thing I could find was this Newsnet one.
It was really good. Just about the excitement of being back on the set and how like all the crew was like, whoa, bah. But one of my favorite things is someone asked about if there's a lightsaber fight between him and Hayden. And he's like, I had a lot of fight stuff to do in this series. I'm just like, fight stuff. I like that.
Fight stuff.
Fight stuff. Doing fight stuff.
I mean, we see it in the trailer. We see it in the second trailer. We saw him doing a lot more like hand-to-hand combat. We see him using a blaster, which is super uncivilized of him. We don't see his saber at all, but now there's some of these new, in this press tour, some of this new, you know, these new photos and artwork that are coming out, we do see him with his saber. So obviously we were going to see it at some point, but I'm really glad that we didn't see it in the trailer. I like that they're holding back some things. We're not revealing everything and, like, stop giving away the whole story. I like that this was, it was less is more, and I appreciated that.
Yep. Gonna be great.
Yeah.
Excited.
Right after we released our last episode, we did learn that Natalie Holt, who is the composer who did Loki, she's gonna do the score for Kenobi. And that's exciting because we've never had a woman score a Star Wars thing, and now we do. Also, the score for Loki was so fucking good, so I have all the faith in the world. This will be great.
I'm super excited about this to see, like, where it leads. And I think it's cool that she's playing the viola.
Oh, whatever, is she?
And singing on the score, yeah.
Oh, that's neat. I love that.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And then, did we say this already, that What's-His-Face wrote Kenobi's theme?
John Williams.
And he did it in, like, an afternoon.
Yeah. I don't know if we talked about it in detail. I do remember hearing that, and it was that it was going to be a similar situation to Solo, where John Williams wrote the sort of main character theme, and then John Powell came in and did the rest of the score. It sounds like it's going to be sort of similar operating procedure for this.
All right. Cool.
Yeah.
There was a little ditty about a Kevin Feige Star Wars movie.
You know, this was actually really interesting. Den of Geek posted this article talking about how Michael Waldron, I guess, gave an interview talking about how he's just working on the script. There wasn't a whole lot else in this article. There wasn't much of substance. It was just him saying, yeah, I'm working on it. But I don't know if I knew that Michael Waldron was working on the Kevin Feige movie. For some reason, I thought when this was originally announced that it was like, oh no, these are two separate things. But I guess not. Michael Waldron did the script for Loki, and he did the script for Multiverse of Madness.
You know, this guy, this Waldron, I can't remember.
Michael Waldron.
He only has 6 writing credits.
Yeah, I remember looking that up when he did Loki. I was like, this guy really hasn't done much. I wonder where he came from.
Yeah, very curious. Curiouser and curiouser. Evidently, he's 6'4", and his wife works in pediatric plastic surgery.
Is that from his IMDb?
Yep. I thought it was interesting, too, that it called Rogue Squadron out again and rumored production delays due to creative differences behind the scenes.
But they haven't announced a new, like, debut date for that movie. They're still saying December 2023. I'm like, there's no fucking way. There's no fucking way. If they don't have a finished script yet, and they haven't even started on, like, pre-production stuff, there's no way it's coming out December next year.
I'm putting my money on it disappearing.
Really?
Yep.
Mm. I feel like it goes back and forth. I thought we heard initially that Patty Jenkins was off the movie and done, and then she was back, and now maybe it's done again. I don't know. I'm not sure what the fuck's going on, but hopefully, time will tell.
Next up, Disney Gallery, Book of Bob.
Book of Bob.
Nope. That Book of Boba Fett. No.
I like Book of Bob. Book of Boba Fett. It's perfect. Yes, that's how we call it on this show. Yeah. Yes. I do want to shout this out. This was really good. I fucking love these Disney Gallery series where they do all the behind-the-scenes stuff for these shows. I did sit and watch this finally last night. It came out on May the 4th, and people kept telling me, like, oh, it was so good. And I finally sat down and watched it. And it truly was, like, it was great. You know, the creators of these Disney Plus series, like, taking the bones of the character Boba Fett and then building the new character, yeah, Din Djarin, and, you know, how that would sort of give them some creative latitude. Like, they kind of walked through that whole thing in addition to talking a lot about, like, Boba Fett himself and working with Tem, and it was great.
Yeah, I just can't really get into those Disney galleries. I don't know what it is. I've tried watching them and just...
Huh. Yeah, I like behind-the-scenes stuff, so I don't like being asked questions about it in the Schmodown, but I like it in general and learning about this stuff. But some other highlights, Tamara Morrison talked a lot about the sort of cultural dances, songs, forms of combat that came into play during Boba Fett's time with the Tusken Raiders. People were constantly having to tell Ming-Na Wen to stop nerding out and to focus on what she was doing, because she just kept, like, having so much fun on set, she, like, couldn't get her shit together. It was really funny. The Ithorian Mare, I learned, was not 100% animatronic, as I thought he maybe was. There actually was a person inside of there, like, helping run that puppet.
Yeah.
Fennec, Shan getting stitched back together in the mod parlor, that actually was, there was not a lot of CGI involved in that. That was actually, like, a practical effect. Like, she was sort of underneath the table with, like, a sort of dummy version of her on top that they were drilling into and shit. It was really interesting, actually. I never gave it much thought, but when they showed it, I was like, oh, it's like a magic trick. It's cool.
Huh.
And then comparing how they brought the Rancor to life in Return of the Jedi versus how they did it in the Book of Boba Fett. I guess they did a lot of miniature work in Return of the Jedi, so they were able to do a lot more, like, practical life-size puppet with a lot of the close-ups in the new one. And you got to see a lot of the puppeteers making Grogu do backflips on the rocks. And it was so cute. Oh my god, I almost died. It was amazing. And yeah, just talking about, like, how they could do it but still make it look real and lifelike. But it was just, I guess it was a struggle, but it was really fun to watch.
I'll have to watch it just for that.
Oh, just for that. It's just so good.
Backflip, baby.
Right towards the end. And then one other highlight I wanted to mention was that Doug Chang climbs into the cockpit of an N1, which is a ship that he designed. And while it's like in the volume and you know, it kind of makes you feel like you're actually in the show, you're actually flying through a canyon because of the way that technology works, and just the smile on his face during that scene of him actually getting to ride in this ship that he designed was so cool and so moving. So it really is a great episode. It's about an hour long, totally worth the watch if you have time. If you missed this when it came out on May the 4th, highly recommend.
Oh, yay.
Yeah, it was fun.
I would
fun.
Watch for that and the baby backflips.
Yeah, there was a whole lot of, like, you know, Mark Hamill working on the show with the other actor who was playing the double, and I'm just kind of like, I'm so sick of talking about this. But there's a lot of other great stuff in that hour-long episode.
Huh. All right, cool.
Mm-hmm.
Another little just fun fact tidbit is we think that Jedi Fallen Order 2 may be called Jedi Survivor.
Yeah, I could have sworn that we had heard about this like a couple months ago, but maybe we just heard that like a sequel was coming soon or something. But everything I saw was just like, this just happened this week. This news like came out this week that this dude from VentureBeat.com was just like, yeah, EA wants to get it out before the end of March 2023 and it's called Survivor. And that's it. That's all we know.
Yep. We shall see. I think for a while there was a lot of thought that Fallen Order 2 would be a topic or something at Celebration, but guess not.
Yeah, it's kind of sounding like maybe we're too far out for that, but maybe by the time we get to Comic-Con, which usually happens in July, maybe they'll have more information then.
Yeah. Could be.
I know you don't have a game console anymore, but you really liked Fallen Order. Would you go out of your way to get something so that you can play Fallen Order 2?
I think I would try to rent one.
Okay.
If you can rent them. Or I would find someone who has one and borrow, steal it for a few weeks.
Nice. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Fingers crossed. So that one's one that you would go out of your way to play because it was the first one was that good. I remember you really liked it.
Yeah. It was fun.
Yeah. The only other two news points that we'll hit was that on May 10th, Star Wars Brotherhood by Mike Chen came out. We're going to, I'm going to cover some of that in our next segment in Recap on Tap. And then The High Republic Starlight Stories is a compilation of all of the High Republic short stories that were in Star Wars Insider magazine, and there will be a few new ones, but they're doing a compilation of all of those that's going to be coming out later this year, and I'm really excited for that because I remember hearing that those stories existed but not having any way to access them because I don't get Insider magazine, and it's actually really expensive to subscribe to it. I'm like, I'm not paying for this, I'm sorry. But I will pay for this compilation.
I just remembered Dalna, what we were talking about.
Oh, yeah?
Remember that book cover?
For the phase two.
Yes.
Got it. That book, that planet takes place, or it looks like it, that book has a lot of Dalna in it. Cool. Good to know. Good memory. And we say we don't remember shit. I don't remember shit. That's awesome.
It just took me 40 minutes. No big deal.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Shall we take a break?
We should. I need to shake up my drink and have second drink.
All right. Woo!
Yay!
So we are back with Recap on Tap, and because I'm a mushy brain person, I haven't read anything. It just doesn't work anymore. So Laura is going to talk about Brotherhood. Question before you get started, Is there any content that you would highly recommend? I guess more so like book content that you would highly recommend reading or being familiar with before this takes place?
Not that I would highly recommend, not in the sense that something is 100% necessary in order to like get this book. This book stands alone on its own just fine, as long as you've seen Attack of the Clones. If you haven't, you might be a little lost. But if you haven't, you're probably not listening to this show. Unless you're my mom. My mom listens and she has probably not seen any of those movies. But anyway, thanks, Mom. The book is really set right after Queen's Hope. So it does mention the events that take place in that book like a little bit. But it's not necessary that you read that book to, like, understand what's going on here. You just would have to understand that, like, between Anakin and Padme getting married and this book, there was some other stuff that happened. And besides that, it is set, like, right after Attack of the Clones. So there's really not a whole lot else. So yeah, I think the short answer is no. There's not anything that's 100% necessary.
All right.
Yeah. So cool. I'm going to try and talk about this without spoilers. If I do get into too much spoiler territory, we'll post timestamps or something in the show notes. But I think I'm going to do it in a... I've got my notes in front of me, and I think I did an okay job of not getting too deep into it. But there was a lot that I really liked in this book, and I was kind of surprised how much I liked it and how much it sort of changed how I think about these characters, Obi-Wan and Anakin in particular. And I think that this book was, like, really perfectly timed in terms of its release, because as much as this book is about Anakin and Obi-Wan, I think it might be the scale might weigh a little bit more towards Obi-Wan, like just a tiny bit, because you really get a lot of sort of insight into like his relationship with Anakin and how the relationship is really changing in this specific time. And to go from this to like seeing the Obi-Wan trailer and sort of acknowledging like the tragedy that is what their relationship eventually becomes was, it was just a really interesting sort of headspace to be in and have these two things happening at the same time. So highly recommend, it's a good one to read right now before Kenobi comes out. I don't think that it's going to have anything to do, like the stories aren't going to overlap by any means, but it's just an interesting to sort of kind of get you in the mood, you know? So basically, the premise kind of starts off with a bomb going off in Cato Nemoidia's capital city, Zura, and a whole neighborhood basically gets totally destroyed. And it's not clear who did it, so the Separatists and the Republic each send a representative to investigate. In this case, it's Asajj Ventress and Obi-Wan Kenobi, respectively. So this is where they actually meet for the first time. And Obi-Wan, in order to go to Cato Nemoidia and, like, be welcomed there as an investigator, because remember, Cato Nemoidia in the Clone Wars is neutral and not taking sides with either the Republic or the Separatists, he has to agree to basically bring, like, minimal equipment with him. He's not allowed to bring any comlinks. So, basically, Anakin makes him, like, this, like, super discreet comlink that he can, like, hide inside some of his other equipment. And you can guess what happens when this secret forbidden device is inevitably discovered on Cato Nemoidia.
That is hidden in his equipment?
Yes. Yeah. It's obviously they find it eventually. And it is kind of funny actually how they find it.
Are you getting me there?
It's not. He doesn't shove it up his ass. It's in a fucking like scope or binoculars or something. It's... He's not, Obi-Wan's not like a comlink mule that goes to Brotherhood. He could be,
balls.
But not in this book. That's a different book that happens.
Sorry.
No, that's funny.
I couldn't help it. I was just like, it's like he hit it where?
It's forbidden. And but it is funny. So the book is kind of structured in a way where it's still told in third person, like all Star Wars books are. But each chapter rotates to, like, a different character's point of view. So it switches between Anakin, Obi-Wan, this character Rogue, who is a Nemoidian guard. She partners with Obi-Wan in his investigation on Cato Nemoidia, and Mil Alabeth. And she's a young Zabrak Jedi initiate who is struggling to find her place in the Jedi Order. And she kind of ends up partnering with Anakin as they get drawn into the conflict of the Clone Wars and then subsequently what happens on Cato Nemoidia.
Could she be Reva?
No. She's a Zabrak. Okay. So, no.
Oh. Yeah,
Mil Alabeth has special force powers in that she is extremely empathetic. So think Imri Kantaros in the High Republic, but her ability to feel pain through the force is so strong that she can actually like use it to track people. And she is kind of right at the age where she's supposed to be participating in the gathering. So if you remember one of Alice's favorite arcs from the Clone Wars, where the younglings go to Ilum to find their kyber crystals and then build their lightsabers. She's like, her and her little peer group are supposed to go do that, but she does not want a lightsaber. She does not want to have anything to do with any kind of violence, and she just does not want to participate in the war at all. And the way that her sort of empathetic abilities work, because she can't control them, is that she'll just start to like feel all of these things at once and basically just have a panic attack. So it is a little bit like kind of like Imri, but she's, I think, a lot younger and just has no control over it. And it's just really sad in the very beginning. I know, it's really sad, but she's really cute, and she ends up accompanying Anakin to this relief mission, and they kind of get to talking, and he, like, finds her very relatable because, like him, she's different, and she doesn't really fit in with her peers, and she's not really sure where she belongs in this war. She doesn't really know where she belongs in the Order itself, and, you know, since she can't control these empath abilities, she just gets overwhelmed a lot of the time, so... We see them partnering a lot together throughout this book, and Anakin, like, through Mill, we get to see Anakin's kind of come into his own, actually, as a teacher and as a mentor, and it's kind of cool, actually. So when you think about how, like, you know, the hot-headed idiot, angsty little shit that he is in, like, Attack of the Clones, and then we jump to the Clone Wars movie, and he gets a Padawan, like, we as the audience are kind of like, who the fuck thought this was a good idea, you know? Like, this was a really big leap. This doesn't make a lot of sense. The answer's in this book, and they really kind of break it down. So we see him in this book kind of passing along those lessons to Mill that he learned from his mother and from Qui-Gon and from Obi-Wan, and he grows a lot in this book. And Mike Chen, the author, like, handles it really gracefully and makes it seem very seamless, and it fits in very, very well with the story. So Anakin in this book is struggling a lot with his, like, prosthetic, actually, and that's not a thing that we've seen a lot in the canon. So it's a really interesting component of this book, because as long as we've known Anakin in the canon, his prosthetic arm was really never addressed that much, like, kind of except for, like, these funny moments in the Clone Wars where he gets, like, stuck to a magnet or something.
Oh, yeah. Like,
it's just kind of used for humor.
What's the time span of this? Like, where does the Clone Wars movie take place?
After. Like, immediately after. So, like, Ahsoka's not in this book.
Right. So is it, like, a year or 6 months?
So the Clone Wars movie is set in the same year as Attack of the Clones. So this is all very, I mean, this book probably takes place over the course of, like, a couple of weeks at the most. It's a pretty short time span.
Okay. Right.
So yeah, we see Anakin struggling with that a lot in this book, and it was really interesting, actually, because Mike Chen has been very active on Twitter recently interacting with Star Wars fans talking about this book, and one user tagged him and said, you know, I have a prosthetic arm myself, and I can't help but smile at the attention paid to how Anakin is adapting to his new arm in the Brotherhood novel. It's very relatable and great writing. And he tagged Mike Chen, and I really like that, because he's got a really great point. Like, it's really kind of cool to finally get to see this thing addressed sort of for the first time in more detail and be kind of in Anakin's head and see what he's going through while he's trying to figure out how to use this thing. And it's got kind of a great ending to that story in this book too. You do kind of see him come to terms with it. But like I said, the book is primarily about Obi-Wan and Anakin, and maybe a little more about Obi-Wan. Obi-Wan is really struggling to, like, navigate this relationship that he has with Anakin now that Anakin's no longer his student. And he's not really sure, like, how to behave or how to talk to him. So he's, like, it's just his whole situation just feels a little awkward. And Obi-Wan, like, observes Anakin and Padme a lot. And it's often out of sight and just kind of from the shadows. And he doesn't know, obviously, exactly what's going on. But he's pretty much, like, right on the money with his suspicions. But unfortunately, he spends a lot of the book kind of, like, laughing it off and just kind of remembering, you know, like, I kind of went through this infatuation with Satine, like, he'll get over it, is basically how he sees this playing out. So
yeah,
Qui-Gon Jinn and Shmi Skywalker are not in this book, but you feel their presence very deeply. Satine is another one of those that kind of falls into this. You kind of feel her presence throughout this book a lot because Obi-Wan thinks about her a lot. And it's actually really cute. There's a little bit more sort of, because we don't have a ton of information about what his time with her was like when he first met her, when him and Qui-Gon first met her. But you get a little bit more detail in this book about how that went. And it's just cute. It's really great to get a little bit more information about that story that we haven't gotten the full story about yet, and that I'm just praying that we do eventually get that. Alan Voivod was talking about that on 7x7 this week, where he was just like, why do we not have this story? And I'm just like, amen, my brother. Like, I need a whole ass book or show or game or something where we can just get into that, because I want to know that story too.
We all do.
Yeah. So besides Qui-Gon and Shmi kind of being felt a lot throughout this book, there's some really fan favorite, there's a lot of fan favorite characters that show up. Asajj Ventress, I already mentioned. Dexter Jetster showed up in some of the excerpts that have come out. Yeah, he plays a decent role in this. And there's a lot of great other great cameos that I won't spoil, but they will make you want to rewatch the prequels and the Clone Wars all over again. So, essentially this book, as I said, was really well timed in terms of its release. By the time we get to the end of the novel, we're at the very beginning of the Clone Wars still, and somehow the story still managed to, like, wrap up in a very nice, tidy bow. It has a very perfect epilogue. I loved it so much. The epilogue feels like an episode of the Clone Wars that you can, like, you can see it happening in your head so clearly. Yeah. And if it were happening on screen, it would have been, like, a freeze frame ending, you know, like the end of Prisoner of Azkaban. Like, it you can feel it so much at the very end of it. And I think overall, you really can kind of feel the love that Mike Chen has for these characters. He talks a lot about how he, like, has been a defender of Anakin online for so long because he just loves that character. And it was interesting going from reading Queen's Hope, which is written by E.K. Johnston, who does not make any secret that she does not like Anakin as a character, to reading this, where Mike Chen clearly loves him. So it was really fun, and I really enjoyed it, and I would highly recommend it if you are a person who enjoys the prequels, the Clone Wars, the political intrigue of the prequels. If the portrayal of the Nemoidians in the Star Wars prequels is something that annoys or offends you, this book gives that species a little bit more of redemption. Humanizes them a little bit. And if you found the jump from Attack of the Clones Anakin to Clone Wars movie Anakin a little jarring, like, when did this character become so cool? This book is a really great bridge between the two. That's kind of the whole point of it.
All right, cool.
Yeah. So it was good. Highly recommend. I hope that's not too spoilery.
I don't think so.
Yeah. Hopefully that gives you a little bit of insight into what this book is about. Highly recommend it. It's great.
Nice. I look forward to reading it.
Yeah. I can't decide if you would like it or not. I mean, I know you like the, like, political stuff that happens in the prequels.
Yeah.
But I'm like, I don't know. I can't decide. I think you will. Because it's a little bit like that. About that. Yeah. But it's not fully about that. But I don't
know. I'll read Queen's Hope first.
Yeah, that's a good idea. If you have the time and you have the desire to read the Queen's trilogy, great. Again, you don't need it. It's just a kind of bonus if you have time to do it. So that is Brotherhood, non-spoiler review. Please read it. I mentioned this, I think, in our last episode that Mike Chen was going to be doing a book launch event that was going to be hosted by... Or I knew that Delilah Dawson was going to be there. I did not realize that she was, like, the host of this panel, basically, where she was just going to basically interview him. And she did a really great job, actually. It was really nice getting to see her talking about Star Wars writing again, because she hasn't done a Star Wars book in a long time, and I miss having her as a Star Wars writer. But that book launch event was put on by Books, Inc., and it was really fun. It was an hour long, and it was just him talking about basically, like, his introduction to Star Wars and what it was like writing this book. And he basically wrote this book during the pandemic while he was having to, like, write another book he was already contracted for and homeschool a kindergartner, like, during the pandemic. So it was, like, it was really rough, but I guess his wife was, like, really supportive. She's like, you've always wanted to write a Star Wars book. You have to do this. Like, you can't turn this down. So they, like, made it work, and it was great. But he talked about how he built his synopsis from, like, 300 words eventually to 25,000 words. And Delilah Dawson was just like, Jesus Christ, you went full Alexander Freed with it, which I guess that's, like, a thing that he does, which was really funny. But, you know, he talked about how it's like, you know, I normally sit down and write, like, 1,500 words a day, like, per session, like, per writing session. He's like, I sat down and wrote, like, I would do so much more with this. It was like playing with action figures writing this book. He just, like, had so much fun. And other Star Wars authors have brought this up, but he talked a lot about how he sort of honed his craft writing fan fiction. And it was a really fun little, like, shout out and tidbit where he talked about, you know, like, you know, when I talk to high schoolers, I tell them to write fan fiction. And the hardest part of writing is, like, the discovery part. So, like, finding the voices and the characters and the world and, like, while you're trying to also work on the plot. And if you write fan fiction, that discovery process is already done. So if you want to use fan fiction, or so you do want to use fan fiction as, like, a tool to kind of level up and you learn to, like, reread it, and you get to sort of get a sense of if the voices feel right, and, like, if it's too bogged down in details, and it just, fanfiction gives you the tools to practice with. So I really like that he brought that up, because I feel like fanfiction gets a bad rap, and he's not the first, like, Star Wars author to be like, you should do this if you want to write Star Wars books, because it's a great way to hone your craft.
Yeah. Oh, that's cool. I really like the playing with action figure analogy.
Yeah.
That's cute.
It was funny because Delilah Dawson had said, like, you know, we've heard these characters' voices in our heads since we were kids. So that part of it kind of already being done for us. Like, it doesn't take us very long to sort of find that voice and know what these characters are going to say. It just kind of, like, flows from you very, very easily. And it was great. They talked a lot about the sort of the writing process of writing a Star Wars book. Like, I guess how, you know, when you work with an editor, you get, like, one person's comments sort of written in the margins while they're going over your work. And when you're writing a Star Wars book, you have 17 people's comments throughout the book because there are so many people going through and, like, checking through things. And Mike Chen was like, yeah, basically you have to keep the whole thing in Google Docs and it will crash Chrome when you do that. So it's just, yeah, it's really funny. And I really enjoyed it. They had a great rapport. They're clearly friends in real life. There was a brief Q&A session at the end, and he hit on some of the points, like some of the funnier points in the book. Like, he does talk about Obi-Wan's mullet in the book that is addressed. They talk about how they take their coffee. Like, Obi-Wan is a black coffee drinker, weirdly enough. Yeah. And it was kind of funny because I wrote in my notes while I was, reading the book in my Kindle, I was just like, I never saw Obi-Wan as a black coffee guy, but that's interesting. And Mike Chen actually brought up the point. He's like, he's actually probably more of a tea drinker, for all being honest here. But when he drinks coffee, I decided to make him a black coffee drinker. And Anakin takes his with cream and sugar. And those are just, like, fun little details that he threw in to Brotherhood that I really liked.
Nice.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah. So it was a fun little extra insight into that book and the writing process. And if they do that again, which I wish they would do something like that for all of the new Star Wars books that comes out. And I wish they, like, if they put it in, like, podcast form, that would be great, because it was just a really fun thing to sit and watch one Monday evening in advance of this book coming out.
Nice. Anything else?
No, I don't think so. Oh, there was one other thing that he mentioned that I just thought was funny. He talked about how he watched the Clone Wars movie a lot in preparation for writing this book. And I was just like, oh, you poor sweet man. And then I realized, yeah, there are three types of people in this world who have had to watch the Clone Wars movie on repeat. And that is the people who made the movie, Schmodown competitors, and Mike Chen. Those are the three people that have had to watch that movie over and over and over again. And you eventually learn to love it as many times, you know, you kind of brainwash yourself into loving it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fair enough.
Yep.
Nice. I like that.
Yeah, it was fun. Should we move on to the trivs?
We shall. I have a whole list of things from Andy of lines to read you.
Oh boy. Okay.
And I'm gonna skip trivia because my brain doesn't work. But are you ready?
That's fine. Let's do it.
All right. My smoker lady voice.
Mm-hmm. It works.
Here we go.
Mm-hmm.
Look at the size of that thing.
That would be Wedge Antilles in A New Hope.
Yep. Here we go. You came in that thing?
Oh, Leia in A New Hope has the most cringy line, and it is that.
Yep. Get on top.
Why are these all from A New Hope? That's Han Solo, isn't it?
Yep.
Yeah.
Here we go. Let's mix it up. Click. Yeah. Click.
Wait. Do that one again.
Click. Yeah, click.
I have no idea. I don't know what that
Poggle
is.
Poggle the Lesser, Attack of the Clones.
Oh, Andy, you bastard. That's a good one.
I know, right? Mm-hmm. I was laughing so hard. All right, here we go. We're doomed.
C-3PO.
Uh-huh.
Attack of the Clones?
A New Hope.
Oh, okay.
Although it could be Attack, I'm sure.
He's probably said that in like 5 Star Wars movies, probably.
Yep. Get in there, you big furry oaf. I don't care what you smell.
Han Solo in A New Hope.
Uh-huh. How's you gonna pay for all this?
Oh my god. Watto and Phantom Menace. That was a good one. That was a perfect reading. Well done.
Thank you. Come get it.
Oh, come on. I know this one. Finn. It's Finn.
Yes. Wow. All right. The droid stole a freighter.
Kylo Ren.
Yes. Then we'll do it real quiet like.
Ooh, okay. That was, which movie was that? It was Han Solo. Was it A New Hope? Return of the Jedi. Yep.
You're a jittery little thing, aren't you?
Leia, Return of the Jedi.
Yay, diggy dig.
Yay, those were good ones.
Those were really funny.
Mm-hmm.
Click. Oh my god, that was so funny.
Beautiful. I love it.
Right. Yeah, my voice is at just the right key to be able to do it.
Yeah, no, it's great. It's like, if you want it to be deep and raspy, but also disgusting, it's just perfect.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks, probably COVID. I'm not sure yet.
Yeah.
All right. What to expect from our next episode? It'll be out in June.
Yeah, well, this will be our last episode before Celebration, so I imagine we'll have a lot to talk about after Celebration. I just don't think I'm going to want to record an episode the weekend after Celebration, so TBD on that. We'll see. I might be a little Star Wars'd out at that point, but
yeah,
I imagine there'll be a lot of fun news items that will come out during Celebration, so yay.
Lots of Kenobi to recap.
Mm-hmm. We'll have 2 whole episodes at least.
Well, 3 at least.
Oh, yeah. I guess if we do that week after. Good call.
Yeah, yay. We'll have at least half the series. Hell yeah.
What?
Okie day. Toast to Laura.
Oh, God. It's been so long. I've got so many things to toast to. I just kept coming up with things on my list. Because I've watched a lot of TV. First of all, shout out to Andy and Luis, who sent me birthday gifts. Andy sent me a framed High Republic art of Avar Chris by Jake Bartok, ooh, who's one of my favorite Star Wars artists. And it's absolutely fucking beautiful. So it's also very heavy. I need to figure out where and how to hang it. But I'm looking forward to getting it up because it's just great. And Louise sent me a Hera print a while back that was, it's like the most vibrant colors. It's just a very pretty piece of artwork. So maybe I'll post pictures of those soon because they're great and I would love to show them off. So that's one thing. I saw Moulin Rouge on stage last week, which is amazing. It's so good. It won like a bunch of Tonys, I guess. And my friend was like, hey, this is like going to be closing here in Chicago soon. We should go see it before it leaves. And I was like, fuck yeah. And so we went and saw it. It was fucking awesome. It was amazing. I don't know what I expected. I guess I didn't think that there were going to be like songs from the original movie in it, but there totally were. They were kind of all in there. Plus like 17 more songs on top of that. Like it was, it was stacked. It's such a good, it's such a good show. It was just amazing. If you get a chance to see it on stage somewhere, like a tour of it, highly recommend.
Yeah.
Let me list all the reasons you need to get a subscription to Apple TV Plus for a month and then cancel it. You need to watch Morning Show, Ted Lasso, Recrash, and now you need to watch Severance. Because Severance is the show starring Adam Scott. And it's really, really good. It's sort of interesting take on like what starts as a workplace comedy in like a sort of 1984 situation that kind of genre bends into something darker. It's very good. Christopher Walken is also in it. There's a couple of like kind of unknown actors that I wasn't super familiar with in it, but it was just great. Highly recommend. And then I also watched Our Flag Means Death by Taika Waititi on HBO, which was very good, and it made me want to watch all of Taika Waititi's stuff. So now I want to go back and watch like What We Do in the Shadows, like the movie and the show. But yeah. I can't find the movie streaming online anywhere, so I'm going to have to pay to rent it, which I'm annoyed by.
Oh, I think I ended up buying it from Amazon. It's so funny.
Yeah, that's one of those movies I tried to watch once and just couldn't get into it and turn it off. And I need to give it another try because Our Flag Means Death also was kind of a slow start for me. Like, it wasn't until like episode 4 or 5 that I was just like, oh my God, this show's so fucking cute. Like, I just thought it was going to be something else. And once I kind of accepted that it is what it is, I enjoyed it a lot more. Very good. So, sorry, that was a very long toast too. What do you have?
I have a move date. A week from today, I will start my journey across the country and then move into a new apartment.
Start your journey across the country while the rest of us are at Star Wars Celebration. Boo.
Yeah. Yeah.
How long will that drive take?
Oh, it's only like 14 hours.
Ick. Oh, that's a long drive.
Yeah, we're going to stop at my uncle's house in Tennessee and visit, assuming, like, I'm not sick and I didn't get my dad sick.
Mm.
Yeah, so, yeah, we're stopped there and then stay with my friend in North Carolina for a night. And then, yeah, movers the next morning, first thing.
Very cool. That's exciting. Yeah. So, movers on Wednesday. You drive on Tuesday?
I'm driving Saturday, Sunday.
Oh, okay.
And then movers are on Monday.
Cool.
And then Tuesday I have to like get my license and register my car and stuff.
Oh, good for you being a responsible adult and doing that first thing. I feel like people move to Chicago and will wait like years to fucking register or get like their new license and stuff.
Yeah, it's because the car has to be registered.
Got it.
I have temp plates, and I'm not registering in Louisiana because it's 10% sales tax.
Mm.
And I can't register it in North Carolina without a North Carolina ID. So I just kind of have to knock it all out.
Yeah, bite the bullet.
Set up internet and go buy like all the things you need to buy for stuff, you know?
Yeah. Are you taking time off for the move? Do you at least get time off work?
Yeah, I'm taking off the Monday through Thursday, and then I'm going to work Friday because no one's going to do anything. It's the day before Labor Day or Memorial, whatever day, holiday weekend.
Yeah.
Some sort of day.
Very nice.
Yeah.
Good for you. Looking forward to being settled in, I imagine.
It'll be weird because I'm in my routine here.
Yeah.
Like my non-routine routine. So it'll be weird being like on my own again and doing my own dishes and stuff.
Won't you have a dishwasher though?
Yeah, but still.
Yeah, I don't have a dishwasher. So if I did, I would fucking use it.
I'll use it. Just here, I don't do anything.
Nice.
Great.
Yeah. Cool.
So. All
right.
We'll see. But yeah, big stuff. And then finally, after I get settled, I can relax. I can, like, rest, don't have anything big coming up. I can recover from exhaustion. Yep. Okay. That brings us to the end of the episode. Thanks, everyone, for making it through episode 78. I am proud of myself for making it through episode 78.
Because I'm also proud of you. My head's going to
explode. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you. All right. Give us a 5-star rating or a thumbs up or whatever on Spotify and Apple and spread the news.
Yeah, if you want to get in touch with us and interact with us on Twitter and Instagram, you can do that at Force Toast Pod. You can also email our show at forcetoastpod@gmail.com. And you can subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Amazon Music, and all other major podcast platforms.
Happy birthday.
Oh, thanks.
It like magically just, it's like it's being oiled.
Oil can. I fucked up. Danny Elfman did the score. I suck. We'll take that out.
It's post. Fine. Close enough. Shake, shake, shake. Shake, shake,
shake. Watered down martini. Oh, I fucking hate it. I don't know why I live here.
Yeah, I hate that for you.
All right.